Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
And good Saturday afternoon. Thanks for tuning in to catch our drift. Joining me in studio, Ipsy Ed Bondarenko.
Hey there. How you doing?
Good.
You know, that music going off is like a Pavlovian response.
You salivate?
Yeah. No. You say, wow, I'm going to hear an interesting radio show with the news.
You need to know.
Yeah, exactly.
We just mixed it up a little bit. Yeah, that's fun. All right, well, what we do on The Drift every weekend is go over the news we put on The Daily Drift. It's
the news you need to know.
There you go. And if you're not going there, you should. www.thedailydrift.com. I go through a lot of effort, folks.
Yes.
Go
yes.
there. Use
Avail
it.
Yourself.
Share it. Tell other people to use it. It's a little local, a little state, and a lot of national news. It's stuff you don't find anywhere else. So
it's a resource.
It's a good resource, yes.
Yeah, okay, absolutely. It's a good resource. I'm sorry. I hope you're not
offended.
Well,
let's take care of a little business while we're at it here. AAA Service Network. If you've got some plumbing, if you've got some heating, if you've got some water softeners, if you've got appliances, AAA Service Network, www.1800fixitnow.com. That's easy, 1800fixitnow.com. Or you can call in Brighton, 810-227-1050. Ed does a great job with his company. And if you go to currentonline.com, that's CourantOnline.com, you can see all the coupons that Ed puts in the back page almost every month with us. So AAA Service Network, it is a good group of guys, and they really know how to do. Even those automatic home generators, which I'm trying to save up money for, because I don't want to be stuck without power and trying to crank over my little generator, you know.
Like last year?
Yes, exactly. That was a nightmare, wasn't it? I don't even want to go there. But we've got Congressman Tim Walberg calling in at the bottom of the hour. And we've got a whole bunch of stuff to try and get through this first half hour. And if you want to call in, 734-822-1600. Love to have your views on just about anything. There was some stuff going on in the state this week, but I'm not going to really cover it because I think everyone else did the insurance stuff and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
But disappointing, but it is what it is. But the thing I kind of wanted to lead off with, terrorist attack this week.
Yeah.
Again.
Another one.
Another one here at home, this time in New York. And
we invited him in.
Hey. And we invited him in. It's that, folks, all I can say is this. When Democrats and progressive liberals say, oh, it's a be-all, we need to be immigrating people into the country. No, you don't.
No, you don't. We need diversity. We need more terrorists.
We've got enough diversity in this town. Drive through any town. You'll see the Mexican, the Korean, the Thailand. We've got everybody here.
Stand in line at McDonald's.
Exactly. I mean, you've got every bit of the world present here. Don't talk to me about diversity, doggone it. This is the most diverse country on the planet. So all you Democrats who keep crying about diversity, and especially when they're doing it lottery style, we have no idea. Here, pick a number. Pick a card. You're in. There you go. And we're going to talk a little about it. I've got a little paper that I want to go into that. But, you know, what bothers me is the way the Democrats are so hypocritical on it. And so the first thing, Derek, do you have track one ready? Derek? He's just chit-chatting away, aren't you, over there? All right, so, Derek, do you have track one ready by chance? Okay, let's go with track one. This was President Trump talking about the terrorist attack in New York this week.
And to further investigate this animal who did the attacking, and updates will be provided as available. I am today starting the process of terminating the diversity lottery program. I'm going to ask Congress to immediately initiate work to get rid of this program. Diversity and diversity lottery.
Diversity, you correct it.
Diversity lottery sounds.
Yeah, we lost it. Anyways, so I like, you know, people.
Nobody even knew it was there. That's what really cracks me up.
Yes. Surprise. And what's crazy is people are getting down on him for this. I'm like, wait a minute. This guy was an animal. Anybody willing to kill another human being or dog or cat or whatever, you're an animal.
Yeah.
You're not a human being. You have no civilized human tendencies in you. You don't belong on this planet with the rest of us.
And if you get permission to bring in 23 of your closest friends, I'm wondering about their concerns also.
Absolutely.
You know?
And people say, well, he got radicalized here. But the fact that he's genetically or socially wrong enough
disposed.
To come here and become disposed to do that. I mean, you
and
don't
do
see Christians
know?
Running people over with trucks. I'm sorry.
Well, I know.
Not intentionally.
If you know of a Christian. I mean, the last time I did, it wasn't intentionally. And I apologized. It was okay.
I occasionally hit the squirrel. I do my best to break and avoid.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
One almost bought it today.
And I feel bad about it, right?
Yep.
And yet, here's this animal who ran over and killed 8 people, and they weren't just Americans. There were some Argentinians, as I recall.
He had a fully automatic transmission. The truck had a fully automatic transmission.
Let's ban it. Did you see some of the stuff people were talking about? Let's get rid of trucks now. And this. Well, shut up! This is America. Now we're going to ban trucks? We're going to ban Home Depot renting to trucks?
Just trucks over a certain size.
You need a permit,
with fully
sir,
automatic transmissions. Okay.
You need a permit if you're going to rent that truck from now on.
I actually need a permit to drive it, but you know the illegals aren't going to get a permit to drive it. They'll just drive it, you know?
It's just and then the hypocrisy from the left on this. So, Derek, we have track 2 ready now. This is clown Chuck Schumer, right? And he's talking talking about how the president reacted to this. Go ahead and play Mr. Schumer.
President Trump, where is your leadership?
Yuck.
The contrast between President Bush's actions after 9/11 and President Trump's actions this morning could not be starker. Again, Mr. President, President Trump, where is your leadership? I'd say in closing, I have always believed that immigration is good for America. I believe it today. President Trump, instead of politicizing and dividing America, which he always seems to do at times of national tragedy, should be bringing us together and focusing on the real solution.
Okay.
You know, this guy started his political career in New York City as like an alderman or something like that. And he actually ran, he actually got behind this one bill or local ordinance that was actually going to keep black people from moving into a certain neighborhood. I've got the link for the article.
Send it to me. We'll put it up on the Daily Drive.
I mean, that's how this guy got started. Clearly an unadulterated racist position when he started out. You know, playing to racist sentiments or a racist bias. We don't want those people living here.
Right.
And that's how he got the start of his career.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they're the Democrats. They're dividers. Yeah. They're racist. They do it all. Don't blame the Republicans
for that. Since 1860.
Since 1860, you know. And so here he is going ahead and saying Donald Trump's a divider and he's politicizing this issue and taking advantage of the issue. And yet it wasn't – when was Las Vegas massacre?
A month ago,
right? So about
– I'm sorry. What massacre was that?
The guy that shot everyone in Vegas.
I haven't heard anything about that lately. I'm trying to remember.
Exactly, because they're hiding.
Oh, yeah, that massacre.
Now, I'm going to try and get Laura Loomer on, right? Laura Loomer is one of the big Twitter folks, her and another guy. I can't remember his name. Richard Tokes maybe is his name. I don't know. Anyways, they've been doing a good job going to these places and trying to do boots on the ground reporting, right? And they got thrown out of the Las Vegas sheriff, threw them out. He said, stop asking those questions because I'm sorry, I'm putting my tinfoil hat on. I believe, I'm still going to go back to the very first thing we talked about a long time ago. 2 windows broken in a large hotel suite. For the number of shots he took to do all the damage that he did, he wasn't running between 2 holes in the windows on either end of the suite.
No, the fire was not interrupted while he was moving back
exactly.
and forth.
Exactly. So, you know what?
And you know what gets me, and I don't know if I've mentioned it before, but that guy, the security guard that supposedly got shot.
Jose Campos.
Campos, that's it. He supposedly got shot. First it was he got shot after the event, and then forward. And then forward.
Yeah.
So now, how come this guy is sitting on this information the whole time the police, for days? For days, this guy knew that he was shot. Well, he thinks he was shot before the event or before the attack on the people down below.
Yeah.
So How could he remain silent for all that time and not say, oh, no, that's not true? And now I just found out yesterday, day before, that there were two off-duty police officers working security with him before the event started.
Right.
Well, like, what?
Laura Loomis showed that there was a video in the casino of a body down on the casino floor. If you haven't seen it, go search it out on Twitter. Oh, it's there. So somebody explain that one to me. And it's a video of the cops with guns drawn walking through the casino like they're looking for somebody.
I left your hat at home again. I'm sorry. I had to bring that in.
So let's get back to Chuckie Schumer real quick. Track, is that three, Derek? Let's play Chuck just a month ago, politicizing and taking advantage of this. Go ahead and play it.
Now, first about Las Vegas, Mr. President. The nation continues to reel from the awful, awful events of Sunday night in Las Vegas. The deadly mass shooting, the most deadly mass shooting in modern American history, has gotten even deadlier in the last 24 hours. 59 dead, 527 injured. Some wounded by gunfire, some injured because they were trampled in the chaos. 22,000 concert goers fleeing for their lives from the scene. The police found 23 guns in the hotel room of the monster who committed this atrocity and 19 more at his home, some of them modified to cause even more carnage.
Okay, so he's right about one thing, the monster, right? Mm-hmm. Another animal.
Yeah, well, broken clock twice a day.
Yeah, and we haven't yet found the motive. They haven't told us anything. There's a million things they haven't told us about this. It stinks to high heaven what happened in Vegas, and I don't believe that the American people are getting the truth of what happened there. I really don't. The story's changed. I don't believe I believe that the sheriff himself is probably under pressure from some people to keep his yap shut, and maybe they're
MGM.
Doing it for a reason.
MGM.
Yeah, maybe they're doing it for a reason.
Think of these movies you watch where there's the political machinations of the big employer in town. They sit on the boards, or they know everybody. MGM's a big employer in that town, man. This guy's under pressure.
They're all under pressure, and I believe that maybe it's for a good
CNN
reason.
Where is CNN on this? I mean, how many days in a row, hour after hour, 24 hours a day, did we hear about the missing Malaysian airliner?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And this one's just gone.
Yeah, like, and this is a lot closer to home than a missing Malaysian airliner.
Yeah, it drives me absolutely crazy that, you know, the media is not doing its job. They're just not. I wish I had a full time to be able to go out and do the things like Laura Loomer and these other people do. I don't. I have to work for a living and make money and pay my bills, right?
We got an hour a week.
We get 1 hour a week. Let's take a call from Gary in Hazel Park, wants to talk about Chuckie the Clown Schumer. Go ahead.
I'd just like to say unequivocally or unequivocally that Chuck Schumer is a scum.
I agree. I'd like to
hear
that.
I'm sorry, he's what? Could you say that again?
Chuck Schumer's a scum. Okay.
He is. He's human garbage.
What he does, right?
You're denigrating scum, man.
He everything. But he and his party has brought thousands and tens of thousands of retards from all over the world into our country, and somehow we expect Donald Trump to unify it.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you're being as politically incorrect as I normally am, Gary. So we have that in common today. You're beating me to the punch using all my good stuff. So, yeah, it's amazing. The hypocrisy from the Democrats on this is absolutely disgusting. Look, that diversity program was passed by Obama and the Democrats. Nobody else. Who in their right mind just rolls the dice and says, come on in, you win the lottery? I'm sorry. Really? How about vetting them a little bit?
You've studied the history of Rome, I presume.
A little bit.
Okay, well, this is how Rome fell. I mean, they just conquered so many different countries and brought their slaves into Rome and gave them citizenship eventually, and they pretty much changed Rome. And this is what's happening to us, slowly but surely. But listen, you know, their motto, diversity and inclusion, it's schizophrenic. It's schizophrenic because you can't have both. Either you're with us or you're different than us. So, I mean, no wonder they don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, the barbarians are at the gate. That is a great analogy because you know what? The barbarians are not only at the gate. We invited them in. We're doing it by the thousands on a daily basis in this country, bringing in the same people who have no values akin to us, who hate our values, as a matter of fact, and want to destroy our culture. And yet you keep bringing them in, Democrats. Thank you very much. Where is your? It's suicidal, is what it is.
You know, Gary, you brought up the Roman Empire, and ever since I was 8 years old and read Gibbon's Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire, all three volumes, I was always curious about how the Roman would we suffer a similar fate. How would our Congress ever give up its authority to a tyrant? And I think over the last 8 years, we've seen that happen, where all of a sudden they don't care what the emperor does. In that case, it was Obama. You know, more and more ceding more and more power to him instead of doing their job and watching what's going on. And that's what we've seen here. And that's how we got these people let in with no vetting, because the administration just went ahead and did it as if they were royalty.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, you're right about that. And I don't like to use cliches very much, but the power corrupts thing, because the senators and congressmen in America have far more power than they were ever supposed to have. And they all go up there and they get co-opted by greed and power, and they lose themselves. And that happens all the time. And that's what's happening to the country. Congress, the power in Congress needs to be cut in half. They should never have the power of life and death over America.
Yeah. Agreed. Well, great call. Yeah. Appreciate it, Gary. Call us again. I always love getting your calls. Take care.
All right, brother.
Let's take a call from Jasmine in Chicago. Jasmine, welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Listen, I just wanted to make a comment about I was watching the news the other day, and it was like the day of the terrorist attack, and I saw a bunch of, as I call them, the dummycrats. up on their podium talking about gun control. And I was laughing because I'm looking through the story and I'm like, where were guns used for this? I mean, I know he had some guns on him that were like BB guns or something.
Yeah, it was a paintball gun and a BB gun.
But real quick, let me just tell you, in Chicago, we just had a situation at a Starbucks store where the news reporter was talking about this guy that got shot inside of Starbucks. There was like a drug thing gone bad. And I'm looking at it, and right outside the store, there's a huge no gun zone sticker on the door. And I'm like, well, damn that criminal. Can he not see that sign that says no guns allowed in this property?
Yeah.
I'm just wondering if it's just me. Or am I just, like, really, really stupid? Or do criminals not pay attention to those signs?
Yeah, well, and there you go. Imagine that.
It's criminals don't obey laws, period. I don't care. Adding an additional law to think that a criminal is going to obey the additional law that they've already broken other laws is the definition of insanity. And for these Democrats to keep pushing gun control, thinking that it's going to solve a problem, it's sheer insanity. What is wrong with you people? Criminals don't follow the law. It's that simple. Get it through your thick skulls, you Democrats. That's exactly right.
When they install metal detectors at, you know, coffee shops with gun-free zone stickers on them, then I might be concerned. But until then, I keep it in my pocket. You know, they don't need to know. I'm sorry. I'm breaking a rule. I'm breaking a law. I'm going to protect myself. Yeah. I need my coffee.
What's a shooting still going on every weekend out there in Chicago?
Oh, it's like you take a breath in, take a breath out, someone gets shot.
Ooh, could the city limit signs have gun-free zone stickers put on them?
How many
would that work?
How many people in Chicago actually obey that law? I mean, are law-abiding people now breaking the law and carrying guns to protect themselves? Is that happening out there?
I think the law-abiding people are either moving to the suburbs or, you know, someone like me who has my FOID card, and I've got my gun, and whenever I go to a movie or a restaurant, as soon as I see that no gun zone sticker, I'm going somewhere else.
Well, that's good. You're voting with your feet, and that's the way it's supposed to be.
We had a baseball stadium.
I don't like to be a sitting duck for anyone.
Yeah.
We had a baseball stadium here, Tiger Stadium, before we had our new stadium. And my son went to a ball game there, and he left his gun and his wife left his purse in their car in locked parking, you know, paid parking. It's supposed to be watched. And when they got back out, the window was broken, her purse was gone, his gun was gone. So he called the Detroit police. The Detroit police came. After about 2 hours, they came, showed up, and said, well, why the heck did you leave it in the car? Why don't you just do like we do and carry inside? Nobody's going to say a word. And that's what the police told him. Wow. Now at the new Comerica Park, they have
metal detectors.
Metal detectors.
They wave you down.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can't carry into public places anymore. But yeah, that's part of the problem with being a concealed carry guy here in this state. There are places you just can't take it. And your choice is A, don't take it or leave in the car. And either one's not a good answer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or just don't tell. Yeah. Don't ask. Don't tell.
Yeah. What else you got, Jasmine? Right. Anything?
Well, the other thing is that it's just very ironic to me that the only time I ever see our beloved mayor, Rahm Emanuel, on TV is the other day. He was just, you know, being very narcissistic about what a great mayor he is. He just got the NBA draft or something that's coming to Chicago for the first time. And I'm like, well, that's real good, except that most of those athletes are probably going to get shot before they get up to the podium.
Well, they'll have bodyguards, right? And they'll have a ton of security there. So, you know, those guys get the special treatment, the extra cop coverage and everything else to keep them mm-hmm. safe because they're the elite, you know, where the average person in Chicago, man, woman, or child, doesn't have that protection. You know, they're at the mercy of whatever criminals are running around with AK-47s or 45s or whatever they want.
You know why I carry a gun, right? Go ahead. You know why I carry a gun?
Why do you carry a gun?
Oh, because I can't carry a policeman.
That's right. I saw that on there. It was a good one, yes. Especially if they've eaten too many donuts. Yes. I'm only kidding. I'm going to say this, though. I got pulled over the other night for speeding, right? Driving through Salem. You know where Salem is, right? And I normally am very careful, and I had come from my son's band concert, and I was speeding. My mind was a million things going on in my head. And I see the cop, and I'm like, I must be speeding. I pull over. He pulls up behind me. And I'll tell you what, I have not been pulled over by an officer in probably a decade, right? At least. And the difference from the last time a cop came up to my window to this time was night and day. This officer, he was a sheriff, was nervous. He was stressed, right? Walks up to the and very, you know, and I turned on my lights, put my hands up on the wheel and everything, and then waited. I didn't go mm-hmm. for any of my stuff until he came to the window and flashed and said, can I see your stuff? And I said, it's in here, and I grabbed it, and I gave it to him. And I was polite. I did all the right things, yes, sir, no, sir, blah, blah, sorry, sir. Because I felt bad that I was actually that fast. And so he goes back, and I'm like, oh, God, so much for my insurance rage, you know. But he comes back, and again, still nervous, though. And I think when they pull that up, they see that I'm a CCW holder as well. I'm sure.
Were you carrying?
I was not carrying because I don't carry real often. It's just a hassle, right? If I want to stop for a beer somewhere, I don't like carrying a gun. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to stop for a beer somewhere, and so he comes back and he giggles, Mr. Wellings, I'm just going to give you a verbal warning this time. And I was like, you are awesome. I said, thank you so much. I said, be careful out there. I said, I really appreciate that. You're really helping me out. And he's like, I understand. You know, have a good night. And backed away from my car, right? And I've never seen that. You know, most cops just turn and go back to the car. This guy backed away. And I'm thinking, that poor guy mm-hmm. must be just nervous on a daily basis. I mean, imagine putting yourself out there on a daily basis, especially in the evening when it's dark like this, and pulling somebody over. So thank you to the sheriff's department and that officer. I couldn't see his name, but he was a great guy. So he was doing his job and doing it well because you know what? I learned my lesson. You didn't have to give me a ticket for it. You know?
There was a period of time that myself and my son and a couple others felt that having a CPL or CCW was a get-out-of-jail-free card for being pulled over. It seemed like every time we tell the cop, the officer of the law, hey, I'm carrying, where is it? Oh, it's in my pocket. As long as it stays there, we're good. Go do a check. Come back. You're free to go. Don't do it again.
Yeah, I don't know if that the other thing I thought was I had the Trump sticker on the back of my car, and I'm thinking, here's a guy that's law enforcement related. So there we go. Right. Well, Jasmine, thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
No problem.
All right. We'll talk to you later. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
It was the oddest thing. The difference of night and day from what cops, I think, had to go through mm-hmm. 10 years ago today has got to be enormous. And so, you know, let's all have a little bit of gratitude for mm-hmm. our Leos, right? And make sure that you thank them when you see them. Even if you're just in the coffee shop or on the road, thank them for their service because I think it's important.
You know I saw I mean? One drive by the other day. I had rolled the window down. I said, thank you. Just thank you.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, so there's our music going out. It's a hard break, and I think after the break we have Congressman 7th District Tim Walberg calling in. So we'll see all of you on the other side of the break.
always on the go, driving to work, running errands. How do they keep informed? They listen to Wham Talk 1600 just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham Radio for the latest issues, discussed by hosts like Joe Pags, Faerone X, and Dana Lesh. And they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 today and advertise your business with Wham Radio and whamradio.com. whamradio.com.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen McHugh. While ISIS claims responsibility, investigators want to know how Tuesday's terrorist truck driver suspect was radicalized.
Authorities so far believe Saifullah Saipov self-radicalized in the United States and acted alone.
Fox's Brian Yenis, 8 were killed when Saipov plowed a rental truck into a crowded bike path in New York City. Bo Bergdahl is free. He has admitted deserting his post in Afghanistan and was held captive by the Taliban for 5 years. Friday, he was fined, his rank reduced to private, and he was dishonorably discharged from the Army. But no jail time. Reaction from one who served with him.
We're all just very disappointed. I don't think that we're surprised. I think we kind of thought this was going to happen, even though we all wish and hope that he would have served, at least
you
some
thought this would happen. Why
jail time.
Former Army team leader Matt Vierkant on Fox and Friends. Fox News, we report, you decide.
I'm Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current and The Daily Drift. With today's internet environment, it's easy to get information overload. The best way to process this information and cut through the internet chatter is to get your news delivered in a concise and effective manner. Get the news you need to know at thedailydrift.com. Check out The Daily Drift, one of the fastest growing websites around. At The Daily Drift, I find the local, state, national, and international stories you won't get from the mainstream media, and I make it easy for you to link to them. You'll also get original common sense opinions from local writers. You can even get a free subscription that will deliver a link to your email inbox every day for free. You'll also get instant access to all archived podcasts of The Drift Radio Show and links to the best articles, opinions, and websites. Go to www.thedailydrift.com. That's the news you'll need to know at thedailydrift.com.
Your bridge to recovery and wellness is WellBridge. WellBridge is redefining the rehabilitation and nursing care experience with the most amazing resort-like care facilities you've ever seen. Their driving goal is to provide each guest with an epic experience. And in their pursuit of excellence, WellBridge asks each guest to complete a customer satisfaction survey after their stay. To date, they've earned a satisfaction rate of 100%. Here are some of the comments received. This is my home away from home. This place is outstanding and everyone is super kind. I am beyond pleased with all the care I received. The staff is so passionate for what they do and it shows. This was my mother's third stay here and she always loves it. I've referred this place to many already. My stay has been fantastic. For rehabilitation and nursing care, ask for something epic. Ask for WellBridge in Brighton, Fenton, Novi, and Pinckney. Now looking for talented nurses and certified nurse assistants to join their growing team. Learn more at thewellbridgegroup.com. WellBridge, your bridge to recovery and wellness starts here.
It's been 5 years since we met Kelly Brighton, just before her weight loss surgery.
I was almost 300 pounds. Because of the Michigan Bariatric Institute, I've lost the weight. I now have the tools to keep it off. I'm a better mom, I am a better wife, and I'm just a better Kelly Brighton, I think.
Begin your journey. Try a free monthly educational seminar at St. Joe's Livingston. Visit stjoeshealth.org/MBI to learn more.
And welcome back. Thank you for tuning in to Catch Our Drift in the studio with Ed Bondarenka.
Hey, good to be here.
Good to have you here, man. Let's take care of a little business. If it's Saturday night, it's the weekend. If you want to do something fun, go to Burroughs Roadhouse out in West Brighton, 5311 Brighton Road. You can reach them at 810-227-6000. They do a Sunday brunch, and there's coupons in The Current, COURANTonline.com. There's some other coupons, $15 off any four dinner entrees. So if you got a couple of couples going out for dinner. It's a good thing to do. Starting October 20th, so it's all this month, they've got dinner and dueling piano packages. And then on Fridays, they do comedy as well. So call Burroughs, 810-227-6000. Ask for Jim and tell him Gary and Ed told him told you to call.
Yeah.
Get out there. It is one of the best atmospheres. They pour a good drink. Eric is a great bartender out there. He pours a mean drink. And it's just a great place to go and have dinner. 810-227-6000, burrows-roadhouse.com. Okay, so
I wanted to say something. It's nice to have Derek back.
Absolutely. Derek, you are the consummate professional, and we love having you, and it's just awesome.
Yep.
Now, you do a good job.
I mean, I like Dan. I like Dan. Dan's a lot of fun.
Dan's
we have
fun.
A lot of fun when Dan is here.
Dan is fun, yes.
Yep.
Derek is, you're just,
we've you don't got even a, notice got Derek's here. He's that good.
Did I tell you we've been doing this for 6 years?
Yeah, you did.
6 years, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well,
let's
we've got Congressman Tim Walberg, 7th District, U.S. Congressman, calling in, and now we can get our update for the month. Tim, welcome to the show.
Hey, good to be with you.
Yeah, glad. We got a bunch of questions for you, but as always, I'm going to let you go first because I'm sure there's a couple of things that I don't want you to miss out telling us about. So why don't you give us an update of what's going on?
Well, I think some of the key things that are taking place are happening in the House as general. We get things passed, we send it to the Senate, and then we hear the ticking clock before things happen, and they happen so slowly. But at least the agenda of the people are being cared for in the House this past week. In fact, yesterday we passed the reauthorization of CHIP, the Children's Health Insurance Program for Michigan, which meets the needs of kids, low-income individuals, and I think does it in a positive way. Also retain funding for the federally qualified community health centers, renewed that for 2 years. And those are the things that I think provide real assistance to people in need, and do it in a generally cost-effective way, as opposed to some other entities like Planned Parenthood, who really don't do the services that they indicate they do. And when you check in more carefully, they just will do one thing well, and that's abortion.
Yeah. So, Tim, we still haven't defunded Planned Parenthood yet, right?
Yeah, we have. We have in various ways. However, it isn't a permanent defunding, and that's what we want to do through the appropriations package that we passed back in, July, and sent it to the Senate and sits there. That will be a permanent thing, and the people have been asking for that across the United States overwhelmingly because they heard the reports about selling human body parts and the like coming from Planned Parenthood, and some people can, for one reason or another, put up with abortion, but not put up with that. And so we're continuing that process. But that was passed this week, and more importantly, the budget was passed the prior week, and this week the tax cut bill was made public with the details. On Monday, the Ways and Means Committee will take it up for markup. Markup means there is the opportunity for amendments to be offered by both Republican and Democrat committee members. They will certainly be offered. I would guess it will be a long, very long markup session, not unlike the one that happened in Energy and Commerce on the Affordable Care Act repeal that went 27 and a half hours before we completed that and sent it to the floor. So that will take place. The intent is still to have a vote on the tax cut bill by the Friday before we go out for the Thanksgiving holiday recess. So it still seems to be on track. Paul Ryan made a wonderful illustration. Any of you who have enjoyed taking a raft on the raft.
Tim, are you there?
Hello.
Oh, there. You're breaking up a little bit. All right, keep going.
Well, hopefully it gets a little better sell here. Anyway, we've been in level three rapids with talking about the tax cut, tax reform bill, but now that it's out in the public, Paul Ryan said we're going to hit level five rapids, and he basically instructed us, and I think rightly so, smile at the people who are asking for continuation of this credit, this carve-out, that carve-out, and tell them that the only way we're going to get this done is that everybody gives a bit, and we actually do comprehensive tax reform that does two key things. One, makes it simpler and fairer. Two, it spreads the tax over everybody, so that ultimately the middle class gains and is capable of seeing a resurgence in the middle class that gives opportunity for the future for all.
Are we going to see the lower 48% of the population, you know, the ones that Romney referred to, are we going to see them pay anything in?
Or the ones that Hillary referred to as the deplorables? The whole purpose of this tax cut bill is for the middle class. That I think I can't say it any clearer than that.
Well, what I mean is there are people who currently don't pay any federal income tax. Will we see those people? It's roughly 48% is the number I've heard. Will we see them pay in now?
Yeah, there will be those that will pay in because, as we said, we're going to spread it. So if you have any type of job, you have any type of potential of paying a tax and responsibly paying tax, you will. However, we've also increased the standard deduction from $6,000 to $12,000 for an individual and up to $24,000 for a couple. So there is going to be benefits for all. And I think the key is to make sure that those who are the working class, that they have a break. And they also have, I think more importantly, security of their jobs and the opportunity for seeing employment opportunities advance as well. The basic guts of the matter shows that the average working family now, a family of four, $59,000 a year, we'll see about $1,800 and $1,900 of tax cut that they'll experience. Plus, on top of that, looking at dynamic scoring, the impact upon their jobs and the earning capabilities will approach $3,000 annually by the end of next year. I can't think of a family like that that couldn't use an additional $3,000 to $4,000 in their pockets, which includes also a $1,900 tax cut.
Yeah, well, I did the simple math based on what we've seen so far, and for me, it's a huge difference.
Well, you and I make a mil and a half off this show, so I'm just curious. I was wanted to ask how it's going to impact us.
Yeah, in my dreams, maybe.
I always wondered about that, how much you made up.
I pay to be here, man. Are you kidding me? This costs me to come into the show.
I bring coffee. It costs me $401 a week.
That's right. No, I'm very happy, Tim. I do worry about this, but answer me this. So whatever you guys end up passing out of the House, and I'm sure it's going to change a little bit, and there's going to be that special interest will get their hand in there. When it goes to the Senate, are we looking at 51 to pass or 60 to pass?
We're looking at 51.
Okay.
And that's why we're doing it through the reconciliation process. And that's why there will be some things that we can't do in policy because it has to relate specifically to spending and revenue. But on a tax reform proposal, that's what mostly it's all about. So we're going to get a lot done in this approach, but it will require only 51 in the Senate. Last week when we met with the White House, they're still very positive about where the Senate is. Now, that I'll have to see it to believe it, being a House member, knowing that the other party is our opposition, the Senate's our enemy. They've shown that on a number of things already. But so far, we're not hearing about John McCain going south on us. We heard Marco Rubio had a little concern about the standard deduction and a couple other things not being enough. But so far, there's no indication that he would vote against this proposal. The White House says that they are still with us, and the best indicator is that there's not been one senator talking about the House and trying to instruct us on what we ought to do. That was so much different in the health care reform, and then they found out they couldn't get it done. So they've been a little quiet. I think a little embarrassed as well.
Yeah.
Accomplishing what the people wanted them to do.
Yeah, I guess this, because I know there are people complaining. I heard some Chamber of Commerce guy and some small business guy on the news this morning complaining that it doesn't do enough for the small business and blah. And I'm like, at this point, listen, Republicans, you need to pass something. I'll take that baby step. Let's get a baby step done. And if things are good and the economy is good in 2018, maybe we'll pick up those other 8 spots in the Senate where we'll end up with 60 votes, mm-hmm. right? Because that's what's keeping us down right now. There's a lot more we could do if we had the Senate with 60 votes. If Mitch McConnell would take it all back to 51 and stop being such a coward, we could do it right now. But until we get rid of that gobbleneck whatever guy, we're not going to get it because he's a coward. But for God doggone it, let's make sure we get something passed that is equivalent, and especially it's the corporate rate. We're still looking at 20%. Nobody's backing off of that, right?
No, nobody's backing off on 20% corporate rate. Pass-through corporations, S-corps, et cetera, they're looking at a maximum, except in a few cases, of 25%. Some of those that are larger, much greater in size and funding, who are pass-throughs nonetheless, and they have active owner leadership, directorship, they'll be up as high as 35, but nowhere beyond that. My concern is not so much with Chamber, et cetera. They're on board, the American Chamber of Commerce. Almost all the business organizations are on board, almost all. NFIB is hanging back a little bit because they would like to see themselves go to 20%, but there are reasons why you can't and why you can't make the numbers work, and I think they'll come on board. There are only two entities that are really out there right now, and that's the National Realtors Association and the Home Builders Association. And basically, they're saying you've given such a great tax cut that people won't use the mortgage interest deduction anymore because you've given the increase in the standard deduction already, and most people won't have to use that. I never bought a house based upon a tax credit, and I never bought anything, a car or motorcycle, anything else based upon some type of tax credit or even a washing machine. I bought it because I had the money in my pocket. It made good sense. I got the best deal I could, and I needed it. And I think realtors down the road will see, because of more money in people's pockets and more disposable income that they can choose how to use, they're still going to buy homes. And we do have the property tax deduction that's still in, up to, in the case of somebody purchasing a home after this goes into effect, it'll only be allowed up to $500,000. For the mortgage interest deduction. The property tax deduction will be $10,000 cap.
Okay.
Well, this kind of helps me because I've paid off my house, so now I don't get that deduction anymore, but I'm going to get another deduction.
That's
so
right.
It works for me.
So some people, it's a give and take, mm-hmm. and I think most people need to understand that. And doggone it, let's take the baby step and move in the right direction at least. You know,
for somebody who just bought a house yesterday.
That's right. Yeah, go ahead, Tim.
Let me put out something that might be helpful to your listeners before I forget it, and that's a text. If they go to their smartphones and go to their text and put in the message box these two words, tax reform, and in the address box put in 50589. So text tax reform to 50589. That will put you into a regular text update that you'll get. I got another one yesterday myself because I put myself into that so I could see what comes out. It takes you to our fairandbalance.gop, and you'll be given updates on what's going on, and eventually on that fairandbalance.gop website, there will be a tax calculator, so you can put your financials in, and you can see what impact this tax reform package will have for you. So,
oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
Tax reform to 50589.
I hope I don't regret this.
50589. Okay, good. All right. So, Tim, let me. We got a bunch to try and cover here. Obamacare, are we done, or are we going to try and get to that maybe after the first of the year?
I'm excited about the president himself in a conference call we had with him 2.5 weeks ago. Talked about his push on the tax reform bill. But he spent almost as much time talking about, guys, we get this thing done, we're going to go back to the health care reform, and we're going to get something passed before the end of 2018. I want to sign it. And he talked to us about the negotiations he continues to do with the Senate, and it looks like for once they are moving positively forward on that. And with the negotiations with regular order on their floor, even John McCain should be satisfied. If Lord willing, he's still living by that time, he will have an opportunity not to say, you didn't do regular order, you didn't do debate, you didn't have hearings on it, but we'll have the hearings. And the president feels that the Senate will get it out, and if they get it out, the House will pass it, and the people will have reform. It'll probably take the approach of the Graham Cassidy bill that gave power back to the states through block grants and basically saying states have at it. You be the laboratory of life success, and you come up with a plan, and with 50 states, we should at least get one of those states, hopefully Michigan, that comes up with a better idea, and we give control back to people to pick what they need to cover their health care needs.
Yeah. Well, Tim, what about House Bill 38?
That's the reciprocity bill.
Oh, good. You know what it is. So,
well, I'm a co-sponsor, a prime original co-sponsor of that bill, and Rick Hudson, who's the sponsor of the bill, and I were talking in the hall just Wednesday night because I'd had some questions come in. I know Tyrone wanted to know where that was at, as well as a bump stock issue. The reciprocity bill has been held up because of all the other stuff there. You don't want to distract as much as possible, but Rick has had conversation with our leadership, and they've indicated that they may be willing to take it up even before the end of this month. And
you heard it here first, folks.
Kevin McCarthy as well, giving him my support. I think it's something that's necessary. The only problem, it does give the opportunity for the Democrats to try to put an amendment on it, which would be the bump stock proposal that's out there. There are a number of my Republican colleagues that are leaning towards supporting the bump stock prohibition, and that is a concern.
Man, I thought that had gone away.
Yeah, well, that's why I've encouraged people not to really push on that issue, simply because let sleeping dogs lie. Let people get a little more time in between that atrocious event that took place in Las Vegas, where it wasn't the bump stock that did it. It wasn't the suppressors that could have been on the ends of those guns. It was a crazy guy who had hatred in his mind and was willing to do that. And that isn't a bump stock issue. That's not a semi-automatic, automatic assault rifle problem. That's a problem of humankind in a person that went mental or just whatever, committed that crime. And he could have done that without bump stocks. He could have done that without silencers if he would have had those. He still could have done it. And there are things that we need to do to keep that from happening, not take away Second Amendment liberties from our citizens.
You know, my concern with the bump stock issue is that you try and redefine to keep bump stocks out, and now you're redefining legislation or regulations that may have unintended consequences. Is that correct?
Well, I agree. That's correct. And I think that's why we need to have more rational thought, let ourselves look at what caused the problem as opposed to something the person used. I found out since this happened, there's a gentleman who lives across the road from me here in the country who has a bump stock. I didn't know that. He has a bump stock. He'll never commit a crime. I won't go into any further of his background, but if I told you the full background, you'd say, this guy will never commit a crime with that gun. He just loves firearms. And
yeah, he must be wealthy.
Well, even if he had, you know, here's the thing. Even if you pass some law that says bump stocks are now illegal, what criminal's going to follow that
law?
There
you go. Yeah.
That's what it comes down to. You can pass whatever law you want. The criminals aren't going to follow it.
And it's pretty easy to make a bump stock if you have a jigsaw and some springs.
Hey, easy there. They'll ban jigsaws next.
That's right.
But you know, I can't afford a bump stock. I can't afford to feed one. That's a lot of money going downrange,
yeah,
you know?
That's a lot of ammo.
Yeah, for me, gun control is always A, hitting your target,
yes,
and B, conserving your ammo. So who the heck wants a fully automatic weapon anyways? You know, spend a little time at the range, folks.
Yeah.
That's how you get better. You don't need automatic weapons, you morons, when they get into that stuff. But all right,
you know what? I want the right. It's my First Amendment and my Second Amendment right.
I get you. Yeah. I get you. So, Tim, Gary's going to put his tinfoil hat on again because we've got investigations, and I want to get – number one, I'm a little worried we're not getting the full story out of Vegas. And I don't like the way it's just disappeared, and I don't like the way things change, and now nobody's talking about it. Is there anything going on in Vegas or questions in D.C. about what happened in Vegas? Because my spider senses are tingling that something is more to the story there.
There are still investigations going on, including the Justice Department, on that issue, and I'm hoping Sessions is doing a credible job. You know, I have my concerns with Jeff Sessions, always have had, and he wouldn't have been my first choice for Attorney General, and his standing on things like civil asset forfeiture and his willingness to recuse himself at the drop of the hat concerns me. But there are still investigations going on, and also talking about investigations when we're looking at the issue of Russia versus Trump or Russia versus Hillary Clinton. There are investigations going on, uranium and Hillary, at this time, and they'll continue to go on in Congress with Trey Gowdy and his committee, Oversight and Government Reform Committee. So there are plenty of investigations going on. You're going to hear far more about the ones that the liberals like to hear about than you hear about the ones that I think the general public of America wants to hear about. But those investigations will continue.
Tim, I hear two different things going on. You know, we wonder, well, we hear Trump tweet, I wish the Justice Department would do this and that. And yet, as far as I know, they report to him. Then you look at some news reports that say the Democrats are worried that Trump will influence the Justice Department. And then you have other people saying that, well, he's not allowed to influence the Justice Department. Do you know anything about this?
No, he's absolutely allowed to try to influence the Justice Department. That's his administration.
Yeah.
He's the executive. He has that ability. I would think, and again, I'm not president, I will never be president, but I would think the better part of wisdom would be to influence it quietly, for the most part, behind the scenes, so that you don't have the opportunity for the liberals to jump on him trying to influence Jeff Sessions or any of the others in a way that they don't like. Keep it quiet behind the scenes. You just got to know that that Barack Obama, through Eric Holder, influenced the Justice Department.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's their responsibility. They are the commander-in-chief. They are the chief executive. The chief executive in any business and any governmental entity influences what they're responsible for and tries to influence the other branches. The president ought to try to influence Congress.
It's called politics.
We have a responsibility to speak for the people. And he can try, and he may in certain cases influence us. Other cases, we have to say, no, it doesn't work that way. But that's the process. So when you hear the left-wing voices out there saying it's insidious for the president to try to influence the Justice Department, where have they read that in the Constitution?
Yeah,
exactly. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So, Tim, I got one last question because we're running out of time. It wouldn't be my show if I didn't ask. EMP. Protection, right? Where is Congress and the Senate on spend some money? You have my permission. I don't care if it's $5 or $20 billion. Can we get the grid protected before North Korea or Iran, somebody tries an EMP on us, or just a plain old solar flare? Where are we sitting with that? Can we please finally get the Senate to look at what you guys have already done?
Yeah, I can't answer that conclusively about the Senate.
I know. It's my wish list, Tim. It's my wish list.
Senate is our enemy. The Democrats are opposition. Thanks to people like Trent Franks from Arizona. He continues to keep that on the forefront on the Military Affairs Committee, the Armed Forces Committee.
Yeah.
And we have dollars in our budget for EMP.
Okay.
And so it hasn't been put on back burner.
All right. Well, thanks, Tim, for calling in again. And if you need something before the end of the beginning of the next month, feel free to call in and let us know, would you?
Happy Thanksgiving.
Well, thanks for giving us that opportunity, and keep up the good work. And we'll talk to you next month, if not sooner.
All right. Thanks, Tim. Take care. All right. And to the rest of you, have a great weekend, and we'll see you next week. And until then, go to The Daily Drift.
The news you need to know.
There you go. See you next week.
God bless.